Good morning, everyone. If you remember back in 1995, back about the time of the split, you remember the fight we were in at the time to hold on to God's truth. And I was thinking about that a little bit this week, and that's what brought me on topic for today. So today, though, I want to start by reading you some news headlines. This first one is from The Guardian. It is from November. And the headline reads, "Spike in Transgender Suicide Rates." And the story said, after Trump's electoral victory on November 8th, multiple transgender teenagers had killed themselves in response to the election results. November 22nd, this is from New York Magazine. It's called, the title or the headline on it was, "The Tri-State Election Hacking." It says, a group of prominent computer scientists and election lawyers were demanding a recount in three separate states because of persuasive evidence that the election results in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania have been manipulated or hacked. January 26th, The Washington Post. "Resignations at the State Department" was the title. The State Department's entire senior management team just resigned. These resignations were part of an ongoing mass exodus of senior foreign service officers who do not want to stick around for the Trump era. These resignations happened suddenly and unexpectedly. January 31st. This is from a Fox affiliate station out of Detroit. Says, a local business owner who flew to Iraq to bring his mother back home to the U.S. for medical treatment said she was blocked from returning under the President Trump's ban on immigration and travel from several predominantly Muslim nations. He said that while she was waiting for approval to fly home, she died from her illness. Politico reported that a company overseen by Treasurer Secretary Steven Mnuchin had foreclosed on a 90-year-old woman's home due to a 27-cent payment error. In February, the New York Times story that was the headline, this was the headline, Trump campaign aides had repeated contacts with Russian intelligence. Now, this was the story that the entire Trump collusion in Russia, that's where that all started. That's what that was all based on. Now, if you have not already figured this out, I will tell you what all these stories have in common. This is what we've all come to know here recently as fake news. They're all lies. All these stories have been proven to be wrong. Some were outright lies. Some were based in small parts of truth. The transgender suicides was fake. The election hacking was based on the fact that Trump had won and Hillary had lost votes that she expected. It was not was not on any persuasive evidence. The woman who died actually had died maybe a month before this ever happened, and the 27 cent over or error in payment that caused the foreclosure was not from this company. It wasn't over 27 cents, and it was not even in this country, somewhere else. So that's what we're dealing with. And like I said, they've all proven to be wrong. In fact, since November 1st, they said there is an average of at least one fake news story a day tilted towards and against President Trump. Now, that's 222 days as of today. So that's 222 fake news stories just dealing with Donald Trump. And I do want to say that I'm not endorsing Donald Trump. Fake news goes both ways. And the average is higher than one a day when you add in everything. What I did was typed in fake news, and the first stories that come up I went with. And this is what I got. So there have been at least 222 fake news stories that people knew within, you know, shortly, if not before they printed it, shortly after they printed it, that it was false. But they ran with it anyway. So today what I want to do is just take a quick look at at fake news as it pertains to us in the Church of God. And, you know, I want to talk about where it comes from, the dangers of it, and what we can do to combat it in the church. So first, you know, where in the Church of God does fake news come from? Where does it come from? If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 3. Now, Paul is writing here, and what he is speaking about is God's gospel truth. He says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, for whose minds the God of this age has blinded." So what we see here is that Satan, the god of this world, has the power to blind people from the truth. And in verse 4 again, it says, "Whose minds the god of this age has blinded." And then he can use those people that he has blinded to the truth to work at spreading more lies for him. Now, you don't have to turn here. I'll read this to you. But Jesus speaking in John 8:44, he says this, speaking to the people of his time. He says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." You know, fake news is the embodiment of Satan. You can count on him to attack us and attack you personally with fake news. He'll do it through rumors. He'll do it through hearsay. He'll spread it through social media. That's a big one. It reminds me of a few years ago. Do you remember, for those of you who remember, the Abigail Cartwright webpage? Fake person used to spread fake news. And it affected the church in a very bad way. Second, what are the dangers of it? You don't have to turn here either, but you can jot it down if you want. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Satan, the devil, he is the adversary of a lot of things, but he is the adversary of truth. And he wants to blind each and every one of us with his own brand of fake news. You know, even to the point the elect of God, very elect of God, could be fooled. If you would look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 6 through 8. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 8, starting in verse 6. It says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." You know, as we draw closer to the end, there's going to be a lot more of this. It's going to get worse. We're being warned of false Christ, of a false gospel. We have to know the truth. We have to have that truth deep, deep rooted in us. Because in the last days, you know, the devices Satan uses, his cleverness, his craftiness, it's going to increase. It's only going to get worse, and we have to be on constant guard. Jesus Christ himself warns us to be aware of false news. Matthew 24, verse 23 through 25 says this, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ, there or there,' do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." See, I've told you beforehand. And when it says here, if possible, He's not saying it's not possible. He said if it's possible. And that depends on us. How well we're guarding our minds, how well we're guarding the truth that has once been delivered to us from the beginning, that we have to internalize it. If we're guarding that, we won't be deceived. But if we allow ourselves to drift, then it will be possible. Because this does not say it's not possible, it just says if possible. You know, Satan wants you out of God's care. He wants you out of God's truth. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows how to attack us. And if something works, he sticks with it, and he'll keep digging at you and digging at you and digging at you. You've got to be on top of it. You know, another danger is with all this is it's really easy to put fake news out there. You say it, people run with it. The hardest thing to do is to retract it. These stories go out. I read one of the bloggers had put something out. He had a total of, I think it was like 36 Twitter followers. And I don't remember which one of these stories that he put online, but within hours he had over 40,000 Twitter followers. His Facebook page had nearly 100,000, all from this. He was proven to be wrong. He never retracted it. It's still out there. People are trying to fight it. People have come out and said this is wrong. But once it's out, you know, people want to hear the bad, and they want to run with that story. But when you try to correct it, people don't want to hear that. They prefer to think the worst in people. So that's another problem. You know, once it's out there, and if it can't be retracted, it's almost impossible to repair the damage that something like that can cause. You know, and we've seen that in the church over the years with all the divisions and the strife and the fighting and all that goes on. Once it starts, it's hard to get back under control, and it's hard to repair the damage. Point number three, what we can do to combat fake news. If you would, Proverbs 18. I'm going to read verses 13 and 17. Proverbs 18, verses 13 and 17. Verse 13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Verse 17, the first one to plead his case seems right until his neighbor comes along and examines him. In other words, it's important that we hear all sides of the story before we make a judgment. You don't just hear something and go right with that. There's always more than one side of the story. And if you answer the matter before you've heard it all out, it says that it's folly to you, and it should be a shame to you. You need to hear everything out. And, you know, because the first person who comes to you and tells you, he's the one that seems right. It says until somebody else comes along and tells you the other half. Now you've got a better picture of what's going on. You know, it's important that we hear all sides of a story before forming any opinion. And we should never, ever repeat anything until we know that it's true. We don't want ourselves to be a part of the problem. And we should always pray that God will grant us wisdom and the ability to discern his truth from the lie. Have a great Sabbath.